If you or a loved one are suffering from extreme withdrawal, increased irritability, or explosive diarrhea due to the lack of survivor content in your life, welcome to the fucking show.
What's going on, everybody? Reality Gurus Podcast. We are here for the 8th episode of Survivor 46. This is the final 10 recap, and we lost a dynamic player, a great storyteller, a social butterfly, but we got to start with Q. We've got to start with the madman, Q Burdett.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even know. There's so many different places you could start. The man had this, I was going to say for later, but I think we just kick it off right now because he had main character energy tonight.
Yes.
How many confessionals do you think Q had tonight?
10.
He had 15.
Holy shit.
15 confessionals. He was all over the place. He was pretty instrumental in the strategy. He was also instrumental in completely blowing the roof off of Tribal Council. And he was instrumental in all the fuck around activities at camp. He was truly everywhere. He's kind of not the main character because I think he's definitely getting voted out soon, but yeah. I mean, he is really making his mark as I think any kind of returnee season that you would want to do for the new era, he has to be in it.
Oh yeah. And this makes me think that I pegged him to go home this week when I done chained him in last week's episode. This makes me think he's going home next week, the way that he was edited and the way he was all over the place. And if everyone listening was sick of hearing us talk about Q for half an hour last episode, buckle up. you might want to skip.
Yeah, well, I think this is the problem with him is 90% of the time it's great reads, you know, we're getting good confessionals, all this stuff. Mm-hmm. But there is a 10% of the time that he outthinks everything and just ends up on another fucking planet. And this is one of those times where he thinks he has everybody clocked. He kind of does most of the time.
Mm-hmm.
But it seems like you can kind of see it when they come back from Tribal Council and he's like, dude, why? Like, everybody's just fucking around. Like, I'm trying to hash things out, even though there's like not really much to hash out. He's like, right. He like wants to make a new plan immediately. And you could tell he's the kind of guy that he probably has like 2 or 3 major plans a day that he's running through in his head.
Oh, yeah. The Q skirt being one of them.
Right. And most of them are pretty good. And some of them are just so batshit crazy. And I feel like this is a trend with him now that for all the good, I feel like he's getting a great edit. I wrote in my notes that I think with the hide and seek stuff, trying to figure out who's a real threat and not, I think if he played in a single digit season, he'd be like one of the greatest players ever just because he's so inventive and with nothing there, he's able to make something both entertaining and kind of figure out how to read people. But yeah, I mean, we like early on, he looked great, a little forceful, but really good. And then there was the whole like him or Kenzie thing that never actually came to a head because they didn't end up going to a tribal council where that was going to have to be a scenario. And then he did the whole like, you guys should vote me out. Like I like taking ownership of this loss. I'm quitting. That was not tonight. That was a couple weeks ago. Mm-hmm. At the end of the post-merge or the pre-merge, and now he's doing that shit again. I mean, for as great of a character as he is, I'm kind of done with him as a player. I think there is a world where if he gets to the end, there would be so much craziness and he would have his fingerprints so all over everything that he would probably win, but I'm just so sure that he does not make it to the end. I'm actually quite convinced he will be voted out next.
Yeah, I would think so too. I mean, it seems like everyone on the island has the same feeling about him that you are having right now. and that they're just like done with it, you know? Like everyone sees him as like, even Charlie, who was potentially wanting to be his ally here in this episode, like he even said like he's someone who he knows is running the game, who he wants to potentially find an avenue to work with, but like at this point everyone is just like sick of his shit sort of. And I agree. I think he's next. I think everyone is fed up with this, and he pulls like the same thing over and over again, and it doesn't make it any less interesting to watch. Like you were saying, like he is like a great entertainer, and that's independent of how he maneuvers in the game, you know. And I just think that all he does is set up these schemes to like try to suss out people to see if they're potential like candidate for a Q alliance, right? And it turns out nobody is, because he just makes up the rules as he goes along and says anything mm-hmm. that anyone ever does is not good in his eyes, you know, basically. And then he pulls this shit where he's just like, you know what? I fucked up. Just vote me off. He's like a martyr.
Yeah. I understand with like the quitting and not getting voted out and everything. I think I understand the feeling that he's having if he really is like that big of a fan, because I've done the same thing where I've run thousands of scenarios in my head. That's not an understatement either. I'm 25 years old. Think of how many days I've been on this earth. Think of how many times I've struggled to fall asleep. Think of how many times I've taken a shower. All of those times, I'm thinking of different random survivor scenarios that I could find myself in. And if you are like me and are a crazy person and do that kind of thing, then you would know that the fictional version of yourself does have a couple signature moves that they like to bust out when they're in a pinch. And I think Q thinks that the greatest move he could ever make is saying that he was quitting and then pulling the wool over people's eyes and getting it not to happen. Because this is like the third time that he's tried it. It's never worked. There's never been any kind of proof that it's like, yeah, Q, this is really working out. That's just never been a thing. I think he's like pot committed to, I'm going to get this quit thing to work.
Yeah.
And it's never going to work. But I do agree with you. I think, you know, Ben said during the tribal council, like, I don't care for the shenanigans. And I think Liz was like, I'm just annoyed at this point. And
yeah,
I think if this was a plan, first of all, if this was a plan, so he wanted Tiffany out, and then another subsect of the group wanted Tevin out. And so maybe everyone was on Tevin, and he thought this could somehow put everyone into enough of a frenzy that it just randomly lands on Tiffany. But it, like, even if that is your best case scenario, like if that is this working, you have a scenario where your target goes home, or you have a scenario where, you know, the vote doesn't go your way, but you stay in the numbers. A lot of people have gone to tribal and had a worse thing happen than that second scenario. There's no reason to do all of this, because he introduced a third option, which was getting Venus voted out, and a fourth option, which is himself getting voted out, or even if not getting voted out, himself becoming you know, a person that no one feels like they can work with, because he is such a loose cannon. And so I think, like I said, if Tiffany going home was that working, I still don't think it really worked. And there's people have gotten out of a lot worse situations by doing a lot less than what he did last night. Mm-hmm. And I think, so if it was a plan, I don't think it worked. And if it didn't, if that wasn't a plan, if that was just like what he actually felt in the moment, was like, which I didn't even completely know what he was talking about like taking ownership over like putting certain other people in bad positions.
Yeah, I don't.
Like, is he talking about Tevin?
I have no idea. And like exactly like what you said, like, I don't, what is the goal here? Like, if it is a plan, what is the, I don't understand.
You're not going to have to wait long to know, because he's getting a confessional first thing telling you why this worked.
For sure. It's going to get spun into a positive. Yeah. Like, I don't know if he was the, there's no straightforward logic for it. So you can't even defend it. You know, like, you can't say like, oh, he, even what you were saying, like, that doesn't even fully make sense. And I know you don't even believe in what you were saying, that he wanted to switch the vote to Tiffany. So he said, told everyone to vote for him. There's no logic there. The only thing I can think of is if he somehow in his mind thought like maybe there's going to be an idol play and everyone's going to vote for the same person, and he wanted to shake the numbers up and have it be like more of a split or something. I don't know why you wouldn't just propose a split at that point, but you never know.
Well, yeah, that's why we were texting throughout the episode, and I originally, like, everyone's talking about how crazy of a trial it was. I thought maybe it could be Rocks with Tiffany defecting. But then I felt like he so badly wanted Tiffany. He's telling Hunter about that people want to switch it to Tevin. And at that point, it kind of seemed like Hunter was trying to be like, why do we want Tevin out? Tevin's good for everybody's game. Why don't we still get Tiffany out? Everybody still kind of seemed set on Tevin, and it was kind of like Q really wants something big to happen. He wants Tiffany gone. Hunter has this idol. I said maybe it's all a ruse, and he's trying, instead of saying, okay, like, some people are voting for, like, I don't get why Hunter wouldn't just play the idol on Tevin in that scenario.
Right.
But I was like, maybe he has some weird plan to either to get the true Tiffany voters to vote for Tiffany, and then hopefully the other people split between him and Tevin, and then like they have like 5 and it's enough, or they have 4 and it's enough. But that's very risky. I also thought maybe he was just trying to get everyone to vote for him, and then just him, Hunter, and Tevin vote for Tiffany. But even then, there's 10 people in the game. Tevin has an extra vote, so the three of them together have 4 votes. They only needed 2 more people. There was no need for total craziness. Go ahead.
This is like a halfway decent plan, if not in Q
scenario. It actually was a plan.
Like, not in Q scenario, because it's not a good plan at all. But if you were, if the vote wasn't going to go your way, you like cue in your alliance and have Hunter play the idol on you at like when you convince everyone to vote for you, and then you, Hunter, and like the rest of your alliance vote who you want out. But that's not the scenario he was in. You know, you get what I'm saying?
Right.
Yeah. So I don't know. I'm excited to hear why it worked. But I don't know. I want to see. I'm very excited to see the post tribal. Everyone get back to camp after tribal next week.
Yeah. Well, I just want to know if Q, if this was a stroke of brilliance by him, or if Venus engineered this one.
That's true. She is the architect, the engineer behind all of these plans.
Yeah. This Venus Tevin Liz thing is very interesting to me, because I thought that Venus everybody knows that Venus didn't actually make that move. So Venus taking all the credit and Tevin laughing behind her back about it made me think like, okay, they're giving Venus like the dodo, like they're letting Tevin like get his shit in here. But then it kind of became the like overconfident edit for Tevin, to where basically all he was doing the entire episode was resting on the laurels of the move that he just made.
Mm-hmm.
And they're kind of making it seem like he's having a little bit of tunnel vision, like trying to have credit. And in comes the runaway train that is Liz,
mm-hmm.
who we really have not talked too much about. during this season. We've kind of been lost as to where her head is at. I said last week, I think she's just going to be the tag along for Hunter and Tevin.
Mm-hmm.
And this week she votes one of them out. She made a signature move. This was her move. Like, she was the one who kept, like, anytime she was the first one to say Tevin. And every time that somebody tried to change it, she would not budge. She was like, I just think it needs to be Tevin. And mm-hmm. I really think that it could, like, Tiffany doesn't realize that she has Liz to thank, because people were saying, like, and Venus too, people were like, should we just do Venus? Like, should we switch back to Tiffany? And Liz was adamant that, like, no, it needs to be Tevin, needs to be Tevin, needs to be Tevin. And Liz, her fingerprints were kind of all over this one.
Yeah, I say something nice about Liz for once. Mm-hmm. This was her move, and it was a good move. I think it's a really good move for her, because she was kind of just getting, like, drug along by Tevin, you know? And typically, like, we don't see people vote their allies out this early to kind of move on because they're going to get beat by him. But, like, I think it was a good move for Liz, for Liz's game and by Liz. She was basically dead in the water. And this, oftentimes when someone tries to make this move in her position, everyone else who wants to do something else will just be like, why don't we just vote Liz out? That didn't happen. So it was a good move. And I think she has maybe a little more agency moving forward.
Yeah, I think that this was actually kind of the perfect time to do this, because I think if she hangs on to Tevin and Hunter for too much longer, she is going to get to the point where even if she makes to the end, she will not have done enough. But then when you're making these moves, you never want to do it too early, because then it's like, well, if you're voting out your allies, who's left for you to work with afterwards, right? But I think the manner in which this happened and the cue blow up, she's going to be able to go so easily back under the radar. And even if that didn't happen, I think the game is wide open. There's three people from each original tribe right now. I think the field is just very open right now. And I think that there's a lot of bigger fish to fry than Liz still, but she has kind of gotten off the schneid. She started her resume. She has a signature move. And I think now, if she can stay in the numbers for a little bit, she can be a couple splash plays near the end away from being a serious winner option.
Yeah, for sure. This, like, not that I hated Erica this much or really at all, but, like, it is like a invisible pre-merge edit kind mm-hmm. of turning into something later than you would think would be able to make a run for the end. And Liz, I mean, we're at final, she did that final 10, right? So, I mean, that's, I don't think too early at all. I mean, I don't think this is going to happen, but I think there's definitely, like, a path for her to do it. That I don't think it's the most plausible outcome, but is it possible? Yeah, sure.
Yeah, and comparing it to Erica and Marianne, because I think Marianne is also in that same boat of kind of, like, coming on strong late. I think confessional-wise, Liz is still pretty far down there. She's still 15th out of the entire cast. She only had three tonight. I would have thought that it was maybe a little bit more, but I feel like she was on the screen doing things more often than she was in confessional. Mm-hmm. There was a lot of big group conversations going on where she is talking, and that's not a confessional. So, like, I do understand that aspect of it. So I feel like in that respect, she's under-edited. But in terms of actual agency in the game, I feel like she feels more alive right now than Erica did at the double boot, or than Marianne did at the final 10. I feel like Marianne felt like she was on the bottom at the final 10. I mean, I guess I don't specifically remember who went home around the final 10 in her season, but
Marianne at least had, like, a storyline, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like, she, Liz is, like, nothing. I don't, like, she has had no part in any edit whatsoever. And when we talk about, like, the winner's edit, like, Erica and Marianne didn't have any part in the winner's edit, but like, or at least the Winter's Edit as we knew it. But Marianne was at least, like, socially super involved, I feel like.
Yeah, and she was a big character.
Right.
And I do really struggle with Liz. I know I saw a great Reddit post this week of why Liz is the winner. Mm-hmm. And it was in complete sincerity. And there was a lot of good information in there. I know that underedited female winners is a thing. However, Liz, like I said, 15th most confessionals out of an 18-person cast right now. She has 14 total confessionals. She's getting 1.75 a week with half the players eliminated. But really, there's only three episodes and then four episodes, then the finale. So realistically, there is not time for her to catch up to higher than like halfway up the rankings, I think, in this season. Maybe she can get into like seventh most confessionals or so. And I just think that I know it's not crazy for a female winner to have less confessionals than some male winners, but I think the winner compared to other players in their season, it's very rare that they're not a top five confessionalist. I bet that's happened maybe once or twice.
Right. Like, and I mean, maybe there is a shift in this new era where like, yeah, female winners are under-edited in the sense that when you're comparing them to male winners, right? That's the comparison. Female winners get edited or less in the edit than their male counterparts, right? Mm-hmm. Like, but when you're looking at, and probably in general, to be honest, just females on Survivor are probably edited less than men. But Liz is like, even compared to the other women on this season, is like edited way less, you know? Like, you're not just comparing her to other winners, or you're not just comparing her to other men, right? You're comparing her to, like, in the scope of this season, like, she is near the end, right? So it's not just that,
yeah,
like, she could potentially win and be under-edited, it's that she would be like one of the worst edited people of the season and win, which is not the same thing, I don't think.
Yeah, she, out of nine women in the cast, she has the eighth most confessionals.
Right. So, like,
so if you're Jess is the only one who has less.
Maybe like the third or fourth, like, most edited woman wins, and they're still like 10th or something overall. You could say that's under edited, but to be like almost dead last is different, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I definitely agree with that. A couple other things. Tevin, we kind of glossed over to the beginning, but obviously I think this was a big shock. When I made that prediction list, which totally got fucked now because I had him as a finalist, I did kind of struggle with what to do with him. And he felt like he came out so strong, and he's such a great narrator, and I think they were leaning on that in the edit, so I thought maybe, you know, he was going to go deep. But in actuality, his confessional count started, he started real strong, 7 in the premiere, and then it was real, like, 2-0-4-1 over the course of 4 weeks, so less than 2 a week for half the episodes. Before having 5, then 4, then 4 in his boot episode. And so he picked that up a little bit, but I really feel like he started to fall out of favor with the edit. And this vote, to me, felt a lot like a vote that happened at the Final 10 last season with Kelly, where it felt like this is a really good player that, for whatever reason, it never quite, like, the campaign never really got its feet off the ground. And you're kind of like, how did they get voted out? But then you're looking at it, and it's like, well, they just feel like a great player. I don't know that many, many great things happened. I do believe in both of them as a player. But yeah, it's kind of this blind side that is like, this is the first true contender to fall. Because, like, I think Soto was a good player. I think Mariah was an okay player, but this is, I think, the first like person that I would say is definitely a good Survivor player. Like,
yeah.
with, I don't think that you can like or dislike the character, but I think it's the first one that you can't argue that that Tevin is a bad player. I think everyone else who's been voted out, you could argue that they are a bad player for whatever reason. I don't think you could do that with Tevin. I think he was probably like one of the top five best chances to win in the cast for pretty much the whole season. And he's the first of those such people to fall. So this was kind of a shock to me, even as it was happening and I knew that he was an option.
Yeah, I agree with a lot of that, especially that he was like the first real like contender to fall. Comparing him to the Kelly boot, I think is pretty fair. I think he had a lot more of uncertainty or like ups and downs in his edit than Kelly did. I was like visibly shocked when Kelly got voted out last season. Mm. And
what the hell, guys?
What the hell, guys? and Tevin, I was not shocked to see him go home necessarily. We were kind of back and forth on him, I feel like, where like he could win, it's gonna be hard. Oh, he could definitely win. He probably can't win, he can win again. You know, like we were kind of like all over the place with where he was gonna potentially end up. We were consistent on that we thought he was a good player, but just like the way he like ebbed and flowed with the edit in like being in it, being out of it, and the way he some episodes he looked really good and was making good decisions on screen. Some episodes he was not. I was kind of surprised, like looking at it as a whole, to see him go now, was because of someone with such like a complex story to be voted out in like 10th overall is, I don't know. It doesn't entirely make sense that they would edit him that way. Maybe it was just that complex of a character that they didn't do much editing, but that's just how he was on the island, you know? But interesting nonetheless that he goes now.
I think he's just that good of a talker.
Yeah.
Like yeah. Pretty much everything on the Orange Tribe was told through either his or Venus's lens. I mean, if you look at that group, Brandon, he had a good amount of confessionals for just three episodes, but you know, it was just three episodes and his main thing was the injury. And then you have Liz, Hunter, and Soda, who I think you could argue all three of them were grossly underedited in the pre-merge.
Mm-hmm.
And it's because all of the confessionals from that tribe were going to Venus and Tevin.
Right.
And I think it's because they're both pretty electric personalities.
Mm-hmm. For sure.
That just makes sense. I did want to talk a little bit about the fall of this group of six. I think we all knew it was coming.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, obviously Tim got voted out last week. We kind of had an interesting thing at the beginning of this episode where Charlie has identified Q as a threat. Like he did it last week. And then Q is kind of like, hey, Maria's going to approach you about joining a six. And at first it makes it seem like, oh, Q threw this group together to get a majority of six at the final 10. Like this is a thing. But then it becomes clear immediately that Charlie knows that this was a thing before.
Mm-hmm.
That first off, Maria did not tell him about. He did not seem upset about that at all. She was just like, yeah, I've been lobbying for you and all this stuff. But now that Tim's gone, Charlie's going to essentially replace him in the alliance. And so I went from Charlie's definitely going to blow this up on purpose to then he was like, because he's talking about how much of a threat Q is and how Q is so great at bringing people together. And that's what a real threat is getting people to rally around yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And, but then he says like, I feel like I'm interviewing for a job with this conversation with Q. And I feel like that is the kind of like, and Q is like, kind of like telling him like how to, he's like giving him pointers and stuff like that. And
yeah,
but then Charlie says, this is a job I want. And I was right. Like, whoa, so he's into this, I guess?
Yeah, I was confused about that entire thing as well, because it shifted mid-conversation about what he wanted to do about all of it.
Right. Yeah. And so I think I think what it really is he wants to be in the group. And then he kind of comes back like full circle of like, you know, this is a thing that like, if nothing weird happens, this should work out, but maybe I'm the weird thing that happens.
Yeah.
Right. And which I thought was a great line. And obviously that was not the exact quote, but the mindset of that move, I'm starting to really like Charlie, by the way. But yeah, this is going to kind of come full circle where Tiffany wants to go after Maria, and it kind of snowballed because Tevin was like, so Venus next. And Tiffany was like, she kind of was like, is she worth a vote?
Mm-hmm.
It was kind of the vibe that I got.
Mm-hmm.
Tevin kind of took it as she's trying to protect Venus, which is disloyal.
Right. It got so out of hand. Like,
right. But then she fucked it up too by then being like, well, then who would you want out? And there's still like, there's Ben, obviously she's not going to say Kenzie, right? But like Liz. Ben's still there. Like I get, yeah, Liz. And so like, she could say other stuff, but she says Maria first. And then it's like, wow, fuck. Like you kind of did that one to yourself.
Yeah.
And then Q is going to like try to turn it around on her and say, that's now there you go. That's the rule, is that you can't target someone within the six, or at least that's the Q rule. So then it becomes, you know, we're going to vote out Tiff. And then like I said, the full circle moment is at that tribal council when everything's going crazy, there's people going in all different directions. Is it going to be Tiffany? Is it going to be Tevin? Are they just going to settle on Venus? I thought the definitive moment was when Charlie and Tiffany got together and Charlie kind of made a decision to give the whole truth to Tiffany. And he was kind of like, she was like, just be straight with me. Was I getting voted for? And he was like, well, they want to change from Tevin to you. Yeah. Which is kind of a half truth. It's like an 80% truth.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, well, like how? And like, and then he kind of is like, you know what, fuck it, Q is the one who said it, it's because you targeted like within the six, we know that you have an idol, and we know because Q told us. And he went full heel on Q, and it kind of turned into like, okay, the adults in the room being Kenzie, Tiffany, Charlie, Maria, they are going to say fuck it to all this craziness that's happening. And they're going to say, Liz, you want Tevin out? You fucking got it. Let's vote Tevin out.
Yeah. And you're right that the turning point of, well, I guess the downfall of the six is that point in where Charlie talks to Tiffany. And I don't know if that was just a great read by Tiffany going to Charlie saying like, hey, you're kind of in, kind of out. Like, this is probably the person who's going to be straight up with me because he doesn't have like a foothold in this alliance like anyone else does, or like, especially if she's getting votes, because if she's getting votes from her own alliance, definitely someone who's really in it isn't going to tell her, because it's probably part of their plan, right? And yeah, we're going to see, you know, this alliance, I mean, is no more at this point. I can declare it dead. I'm pretty sure. And I think Charlie's really coming on strong as a player. And this is the beginning of his second place edit.
Yeah. Yeah. He had 9 confessionals. He, I'm so sure, is an endgame player. Like I think he is kind of in play for the win. I still kind of see him more as a second place finisher, but I think he's relatively in play for the win. He's all over the edit. But yeah, I think he's coming on strong too. Let's run down rankings quick, and we can kind of touch on anybody that we kind of missed. We talked a couple of people to death. Our 1-1, number one for both of us was Kenzie.
We didn't talk about her one bit, and she's 1-1.
No, we didn't. And I think Kenzie was already in a good position. It was kind of the good position by proxy deal.
Yeah.
But I think the fact that her and Tiffany have always been together, and you know, through Q trying to bring Tiff into like some other stuff, I think that the two of them holding strong, that's been a huge thing. And now when it's time for the six to break apart, I think her and Tiffany are right there, still in lockstep. They never kind of lost it, even though they were up to some different things. And so I think that now that the power structure is completely broken, it's going to become very individual. And this is the thing, like, where Q, an issue I have with Q is the fact that, like, he correctly identifies so many people as threats, but then he doesn't do anything about certain, like, some of them he latches onto the fact that they're a threat and he wants them gone. And then other ones he's fine with. Like, Kenzie, he's been saying it is a threat for a very long time. And he has never really acted against her too much, other than maybe he was going to vote her out instead of Banu when Randon got medevaced.
Right.
But yeah, Kenzie, she is, I think, the most well-equipped to play the everyone is a free agent game, voting blocks, to week. I think she'd be great at that.
Yeah, and maybe it's more that, like, the devil you know versus the devil you don't, you know? Mm-hmm. Is that the saying?
Yes.
With Kenzie and Q, where, like, he knows they're in a power position as a group, you know, pitting the other two against each other, the other two groups against each other. And she hasn't actively moved against him. And he kind of came to the conclusion that she was a threat pre-merge. So, like, he might be more of just, like, keeping an eye on her, but he sees the value in her. I think the difference in between her and Tiff is that he saw Tiff as actively moving against him, which would be the difference.
Yeah.
But I don't know. Kenzie, I think she is still someone – she's one of my top picks to win, I think. I think she's going to start coming on strong. She didn't have much to do this episode, but I think that might be honestly a better thing for her edit, because if she can play as socially as she does and stay in the background, I think that can only help her. I would be more concerned if she was huge in the edit right now, because that's the type of player who – goes home who's that good socially, you know?
Right. Yeah, I agree. Charlie, we kind of just talked about, he is both of our number two. My top four is kind of like, I really think that three people have a chance to win, and I've inserted Charlie into that discussion with Kenzie and Tiffany. And I guess Tiffany is, she's tied for third, but we could talk about her with this too, because I think she is kind of slipping in her. She seemed so well insulated to where, like, it kind of felt in the edit that she was just going to sit back and she was going to be able to make moves and her name was never really going to come up.
Mm-hmm.
And she was heavy in the getting targeted business this week.
Yes.
And I just feel like Charlie has been able to fly under the radar so well and really integrate himself into good power positions.
Mm-hmm.
And he just kind of pops up there and everybody's like, oh, shit. Charlie is, you know, in this conversation or in this group now, and, like, no one has a problem with it because they're all cool with him. So I do think Charlie's stock is rising. I think it is the right thing for Charlie to pass Tiffany at this point.
Yeah, I would agree. And I think Tiff, obviously Tiff's name being brought up as an option is a direct product of Q still being here. I don't know. Will people still continue to, like, see her as a threat and toss her out as an option if Q goes home? I'm not certain of that. I think that a lot of people like to work with her and want to keep her around. And I that's why I think we left her. You had her higher than me. But I don't think she's in imminent danger as much as she was in the edit with this past episode.
Yeah, this is kind of my, I never really had a name for it, but I think I might have just thought of a name for it, which is, I'm going to call this the toothpaste theory.
Okay.
But it's not a new theory. You've heard it before, but can't put the toothpaste back in a tube is a thing. I think your name being said is kind of that way too, where I agree with you that if Q goes next week, and I think we're kind of both operating under the assumption that he will, I think if he goes, then yes, she's not in imminent danger, really. But I think she's been identified as a player who, like, yeah, Maria's in her alliance, but she sees her as a threat. She's not afraid to target her. And I think that the fact that she has that in her has been identified. And it's now, no one's gonna forget that. Like, people are just gonna start taking her more seriously.
Right.
And it's stupid because everyone should take everyone that seriously. Mm-hmm. But she is on the radar more now. And I think that while she could get off it a little bit, she never will fully be exonerated of that.
It is also kind of out there that she has an idol.
Right. That is, it's going to be common knowledge by like a week from now.
Yeah.
Yeah. It kind of already is. Maria knows. Kenzie already knows about it. Tiffany, it's obviously hers. Maria knows. Charlie knows. Q obviously knows. So it's really just, do they end up telling Ben? And
then there's Venus and Liz.
Then the oranges, which we'll talk about Hunter, but I don't think that he's getting that information necessarily anymore. Tied for third is Maria. So I had Tiffany 3, Maria 4. You had Maria 4, Tiffany 5.
Mm-hmm.
Maria, I do the same thing every week where she's in a good position. Her and Charlie are a great duo. They work really well together. And then I look at the stats and she has the 12th most confessionals in the whole cast. She gets 2.13 per episode. She has the 8th most of the 9 people that are left in the game. She is comfortably in the bottom half.
Mm-hmm.
In terms of edit, I mean, she's 18 confessionals away from being in the top 5. The top 5 for the whole season.
Maybe she's a third place finisher.
I was going to do a little bit of rework on my predictions, but mm-hmm. it's kind of pointless at this point. I did want to play a little game with you that I forgot to mention.
Okay.
But which it was just going to be, we know that there's 5 spots in the finale.
Mm-hmm.
There's 9 people left, and basically just every person, do you think they're in the finale or not?
Okay.
And yeah. I used to think Maria was not, and I think she definitely is now. But I think she's not first or second, but I think she's definitely third, fourth, or fifth.
Yeah, I would agree 100%. I think I've always been a little higher on Maria than you have. Could she win from here? Potentially. She would have to make some moves, but you're right. She's not in the edit to win. As much as we were talking about under-edited female winners.
She has the worst chance of all the people who have a foundation to win.
Yeah, I would totally agree with that.
So, if we want to retroactively do that real quick, we both have Kenzie in the finale, right?
Yes.
And we both have Charlie in there.
Yes.
Tiffany is interesting. I kind of feel like Tiffany Maria.
Yeah.
It's like one or the other. I feel like one of them will come in sixth and the other will be like a fifth, fourth kind of person.
Right. Yeah, I would agree with that.
I think I'll say tentatively Tiff out, Maria in.
I would say, I would agree. Yeah, yep. Yeah, I think it's trending that way.
Yeah. Our number 5 is Hunter. This was our biggest discrepancy here, is you had Hunter at 3 and I had him at 7. So try to talk me. I still really like Hunter, but talk me back into him as a person with agency.
Yeah, I mean, I think that I think Hunter's like the casual threat. Like, everyone just knows he's a threat, and that's just kind of fine for now. I just think he's really good at everything, and everyone is, he's the person that, like, oh yeah, Hunter's a threat, but like, he's not really negatively impacting my game at the moment, so we're going to let him go. Like, people are going to look at Q. People looked at Tevin. People may look at potentially Kenzie if she comes on stronger. But, and I mean, that's kind of where we always pegged Hunter to go, was like 6 through 8, somewhere in there. And right around 6 through 8 is where I started running out of names right there, where he is just too good at too many things to win. It's just he's not negatively impacting anyone's game right now. And he's, I would say he's positively helping multiple people's games. So leaving him in for now is fine when you need to get out people who are wrecking tribal like Q, and you want to get out people who are a big social threats but also pretty divisive, I would say, with Tevin. Like, he just is a threat that fades into the background. So I like his position for now, and I have him high because he seemed to be included in everything, and everyone just knows that he's a threat and is continuing to not target him. So that's kind of my two cents on Hunter.
Yeah, my thing with Hunter is, now that Tevin is gone, who does he have to look out for, right? Because I know he has allies, right? But he doesn't really have that number one. Like, we know Q is kind of without Tiffany at this point. Like, them as a duo kind of makes sense. They've worked together decently well to this point. But we know from the whole hide-and-seek thing that Q really views Hunter as a threat. And he, you know, and I think Hunter, he made a classic mistake where, like, I get that there's part of your personality that you can't hide, and like, it's just naturally threatening, like that you're super social or something like that. Hunter, he is the kind of person like that, just he can't turn it off.
Yeah, where he just is who he is.
Yeah, and Q is saying, like, if Hunter is willing to climb like 20 feet up in a tree and sit there for however long to win a game of hide and seek, imagine what he will do to win this game. And I think that actually, for as nutty as Q was this episode and in a lot of the hide and seek stuff, I completely agree with that. I think no matter like position in the game and, you know, perception on the jury and everything like that, the scariest thing in the game, the last thing you want in an enemy is willpower. I really think that, because there's a lot of things in Survivor that will really beat you down. And, you know, when things feel like it can't get worse, it does. And we've seen a lot of people come back from some pretty crazy circumstances. And it's just the ability to completely, and the willingness to completely eat shit for as long as it takes for you to get that opening. Like, Hunter, I think, is how I always envision myself out there being too, where, like, no matter how bad like a certain situation is or how tough like a challenge is, like, if I need to win that challenge, I'm not coming off this perch. Like, I will not. I'll die up here before I do. And I think Hunter is like that, but I think he wears it on his sleeve too much.
Yeah. Yeah. It's evident that he is that way. So
he does have the idol, though.
He does. We'll see. If he is someone who pegs me, we don't get I feel like we don't get a ton anymore of people using idols correctly. I'd be interested to see like how many a chart like per season of how many correct idol usages there were. I think like the newer era, there's probably less than the old era, if I had to just venture a guess. But Hunter, where I'm going with this, is Hunter pegs me as someone who will absolutely use his idol correctly.
I 100% agree with that. He already, because he has the right mindset of, he had it at the split tribal where he was like, I should be good, but he's like, I'm not afraid at all to play this and have zero votes against me. At least I did what I thought I needed to do to be safe.
Yeah.
And so if he gets a whiff of anything, I think he's going to play it. And I think he's perceptive enough to get a whiff in a situation.
And also to know when it's a true whiff.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah.
So, all that being said, finale or not for Hunter?
I don't think so.
I don't think so either. I think he's Yeah, you said sixth through eighth.
Mm-hmm.
I think Q's going next. And then I think he becomes the biggest target. And then it's like either, you know, he uses the idol at the final eight, and then
wins
he goes
immunity.
Seven, or yeah, like use the idol and wins an immunity like over the next two. And then he goes like, I just think it's too, like you said, it's evident at this point. They're going to be coming for him.
He's also getting into the territory of he might not lose another challenge.
Right. Yeah, that he won a little person challenge today. That should scare everybody.
He did, yeah.
Number six is Liz. We talked about Liz a lot already, so we don't need to get too deep into it, but she's definitely a big riser right now. And I think she is definitely going to be in the finale.
Definitely.
I really feel it.
I don't know. I'm up in the air on her. Let me count how many people I've put in the finale so far and how many people we have left.
We've said Kenzie, Charlie, and then one of Tiffany and Maria. We're leaning Maria.
So I need to find two more people. Okay, yes. That means Liz is in because I can't find two more people other than Liz.
Yeah, I don't know if she's like third place or like fire loser or something like that. Like, but I do feel like she's going to get a little shifty the next couple weeks. I don't think she goes home soon. I think she definitely is alive in the final like seven.
I think she comes in fifth.
That was my original prediction for her. Yeah. I like that.
I think she's the final vote out. Yeah.
I think she's like too busy to be third place. I feel like.
Oh maybe yeah, for sure. She would have too much of a case.
Yeah.
Extrapolating her game is what, but if you extrapolate what she's done now.
Right. Seven is Ben. I think that Ben could become, I feel like every season has like one of these where kind of not like the person isn't not trying or whatever, but feels like they kind of just so happen to be a swing vote in a lot of crucial spots. I might peg Ben as that this season because there's Charlie and Maria. He definitely has a relationship with, and it's not strained because they sided with him to vote out Jem and they were not involved in getting rid of Tim. So I think he's still in there. And I saw someone online say this, and I totally agree with it. I think him and Kenzie could be a thing. They had the panic attack thing with him,
mm-hmm.
and they highlighted that. It's obviously like a big deal, but they highlighted it and referenced it a couple times where like he's referencing her, she's referencing him, and I've also seen them like one-on-one get a couple like strategy talks. Like that was Ben's connection to the vote tonight. Was the only person I saw him talking strategy with was Kenzie.
Yeah. I was just about to say like, how is he getting his information? Because for most of the episode, it doesn't seem like he's involved in strategy at all,
mm-hmm.
but like I think votes right.
Yeah. I think we can get into a situation here where Charlie and Maria are together. Kenzie and Tiffany are together. And Ben is kind of in the middle of both. And I think that they could work together to get rid of Q, a hunter. Maybe they'd splash Venus, you know, whatever. And then Ben is like the decision maker late in the game. And I guess that kind of makes it obvious what I'm saying. But I think he's in the finale. I think he might be my like fifth place or a fire loser.
I think he's a fire loser. I would agree with you that he's in the finale, and I think he loses fire. He just has that like a little bit of like a sad arc to his like character. Like
right, they never forget to mention that it's like whatever he's saying like could also be taken as a sad thing.
Right, and
there's a morbid cloud hanging over.
Yeah,
him. Sorry,
it's like I don't. He's not like. It's interesting because for someone who is as like positive and upbeat and in the social game as he is, like his story is very sad. It's like not depressing, but like towards that direction of sad, you know? And like, it makes me feel sad for him. And what poetic justice that would be if he loses fire, something that takes him out of this game that like isn't traditional survivor. Like he wasn't voted out. He wasn't not picked, you know, it was something other than that.
Right. I do agree with that. Eighth is Q. I almost put Q ninth, just because I was going to make a point of being done with him, but come on. Can't put him below Venus. I do think I had to, I think Q is going to be voted out next. I just think that no one is really going to want to work with him. The only thing is, like, do they let him just float? Mm-hmm. They're like, all right, we're going to play the final eight right now with
nine. Yeah, play like he's not there. Yeah.
And just fucking come pretend he's not there.
I think that's a recipe for trouble.
Yeah, I just think that the fact that he has had such influence and like he is hanging on by a thread, you don't want to give a person like that the chance to get second life.
Oh yeah, you got to twist the knife now.
I really just think he's going home.
My dumb chain's looking pretty good.
Yeah, I think it might be an 8-1 final nine. Honestly,
it could be. Somebody's going to throw a wrench in something.
Yeah, so he's not in the finale.
No.
And then our last person's Venus. So I guess I'm out of spots. So I will have to say no. Are you also out of spots? Or do you have a spot?
Yes, for Venus I'm out of spots, and I also agree that I don't think she's in the finale. She's great. I love the cast, to be honest. Like her cast, I think it's great. I think she is great TV. But I don't know. People are just so unwilling to work with her that she can't make it that far. There's going to be some point in the next four votes, right, where they're just like, you know what, it's time.
Yeah, I agree with that. I thought one of the best sequences of the whole season was when Venus said like she wants to chat with Tevin. She's given Tevin all the tea about how she pulled off the move that he actually pulled off, and like he's doing such a good job of being like, yep, you got me, that she starts giving him advice on how to play.
Yeah.
Which looks ridiculous, and then he ends up going home, so maybe he should take some advice.
Yeah.
But then the absolute comedy of her like wanting to take credit for the move and being totally wrong, then Tevin saying to Liz, can you believe she tried to take credit for it?
Mm-hmm.
And that bubbling something over in Liz because she wants to take credit for it.
Comedy comes from like, threes.
How about this? You all wanted her out and it kind of worked itself out and you could just shut up about it because you're fucking each other completely.
Well, Liz, there can only be one. It's going to be the one standing at the end of this.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Of Tevin, Venus, and Liz, a little known to us, could be the last orange member of her tribe.
I think she is going to be.
I think so.
Seriously think she is.
Something else.
All right. Other little topics real quick. Prediction tracker. I think it's relatively dead. I mean, Venus is still hanging around. If Q goes home, I will be at the final eight with seven of my people.
Mm-hmm.
But I just feel like Tevin being gone and I had him going so deep.
Yeah.
I think I might run. Yeah, it's kind of, yeah. We did the finale or not. We did some rankings. I did drop the Q confessional stat. I did just want to say he is the clear front runner for confessionals now. He caught and passed Kenzie. He has 53. Kenzie second with 44.
That means he's going home. It's the Banu edit.
Mm-hmm. But I did want to draw attention to a couple things that he's so far ahead. And then there is a grouping of 44, 42, 41 of Kenzie, Charlie, Tiffany. Charlie has caught up to the purples, mm-hmm. which is another reason why I think he's a finalist. They refuse to leave him out of the edit. So he's coming on strong. Then I think there is a definitive gap because Venus has 35, and I don't think she's like a true contender, really. And then the next person still in the game behind Venus is Hunter as 28. So I think you're talking about 44 for Tiffany, and then the next player that feels like they, if they made it to the end, they would win is Hunter, and he is 28. So you're talking about a big gap there. And so I really think that it's Kenzie, Charlie, Tiffany. That's the only person, those are the only people that you can logically think are going to win the game.
Yeah, I would agree. Even though Hunter is more like, I do more through my actions than my words, that's like a big amount to overcome.
Yeah. Even for the Liz Truthers, I do like the idea of a Survivor edit where like that's an old school Survivor thing, and how you could pick the winner edit out is they never let the winner be doing nothing. Like they make sure they tell you the start to finish story of the winner. If Orange just never goes to Tribal Council, like, and Liz is out of the edit because of that, I don't really hate that. Like she wasn't involved in the drama at Orange, and the drama was really only Soda and Venus. And yeah, if she like wasn't in it, she wasn't in it. And now like she just made a big move, and now we'll see. But
I'll tell you
I
what,
don't hate that idea.
I'm glad I didn't dungeon her. I don't know how I haven't dungeoned her yet with how much I don't like her and how many dungeons I've had to give, but I don't, she made it.
She's free of them right now, yeah.
She is.
Speaking of
And
that,
she's also mine.
Fantasy Survivor here. I have 1,536. You have 953. So this is still a gap. Interesting random thing. All three of yours are the three oranges, and I have everyone else, the purples and the greens.
That is interesting.
Just a
I
nifty little
think
thing.
Liz is my only viable winner.
Hunter, if he makes it, it'd be a long road, but
Yeah, for sure.
Tevin was my player, which means this is my dungeon to give.
Chum
And that's exactly right. I'm not gonna dance around it. We've talked about it a lot. You did it last week. I'm gonna do it. I'm gonna do Q. I just really feel like he has stacked the deck against himself. I'm not gonna say the deck is stacked against him. I'm gonna say he stacked the deck against
Yes, that's
himself.
an active sentence.
And yeah, he has really done the most the last couple of weeks. And yeah, I think what I'm looking to do right now is Q is also one of my players, so I'm looking to have Q go home next week, and then I will be done chaining Venus, most
Yes.
likely.
Nice.
And then you have Ben, but then other than that,
Yeah,
we'll just
I'm still
bullet
pretty
everybody's.
confident he I don't think he can win. He might go far, but I don't know. He's just so he has the edit if someone goes far, but not the gameplay.
Yeah, I was gonna say he has the edit of the watch out for this guy. Like we get a lot of personal stuff from him, right? But yeah, he's kind of right in the middle in terms of the number of confessionals. And
Could go either way.
he is a quality over quantity guy, but
Yes.
still. Well, this was a fucking insane episode of Survivor, but
It was.
I think we covered it all. And I think next week's got to be just as tumultuous because it's either Q going down, which he's not going to go quietly, or it's Q not going, which is
He's
some
not going to do quietly either.
I would love to see how the hell that works itself out.
Yeah.
So I think either way, we're getting a good episode next week.
Yep, I think so too.
All right. Well, then we will say thank you all so much for listening, and we will see you all next time.